Om Shanti. Welcome everyone, and we welcome to online our student as well from the overall the world. And we have special today the Golubai with us. And do we all know Golubai? How many people know him? Wow. He known as in Yagya as a Solar Bhai. So, well, Golubai is by birth from Germany. And but he spent major of his lifetime in India. He came to Gyan, and he's with Baba from 1984. It's almost 40 years. And he came to Madhuban or moved to India since 1990. And he has been traveled more than 75 countries with his lectures on meditation, environment and solutions and sustainable lifestyle. He is founder and director of India Care Trust in Germany, and that supports various medical and scientific projects in India. Brother Golu is also founding member for Brahma Kumaris Environment Initiative and represents BKs in various COP conferences in the world. Brother Golu has coordinated the successful completion of esteemed research project by Brahma Kumaris, which is India One Solar Thermal Power Plant in Shantivan campus. So it's our fortune today to have Golubai. And as we know, there is a lot of anxiety in the world about the environment. So Golubai will give us practical solutions and what he is doing by Brahma Kumaris in the world. So he is actually very special, Baba's instrument to spread Baba's knowledge or with the logics behind in the world as representative in the environment. Brother Golubai, welcome.
Om Shanti. Yeah, thanks very much for this elaborate introduction. And today I will talk about anxiety and fear also, because anxiety and fear, they are often combined in relation to the environment or to the climate and to the fast changes we see in the world. First of all, I give you a short update. We have been recently at the last climate conference in Egypt, in Sharm el-Sheikh. And I will inform you a bit what we have done there. And also, what is the latest science information about climate and the environment? And then what we are doing practically to deal with the situation. Then I explain a bit about the anxiety and fear, which is rising all over the world as a result of these fast changes, and people, they don't know how to deal with these changes and this situation. And in between, we do some meditation and some reflection. And then I talk a bit about the solution, which is coming by Brahma Kumaris. And maybe there will be also one or two questions. And that's a bit what's in the pipeline for this talk. Let me talk first about the climate conference in Sharm el-Sheikh. On top you can see the big entrance gate at the conference, and Sharm el-Sheikh was a very funny location because it's a high-profile tourist resort. Normally only tourists come there, and it's totally isolated in the desert, and there are only 5-star and 4-star hotels. So it's a very funny place. And there were no other people there, because around us was all desert. And people come there because of swimming and snorkeling. So it's basically a tourist place, a little bit like Las Vegas. And so it was a bit funny. And there were 10,000 security people and 30,000 delegates and 100 head of governments. Many presidents and prime ministers came. And our Brahma Kumaris delegation below, you can see, we are about there we have been about 15 BKs. And we were very lucky. We rented a big house, a big villa, and we had two people for kitchen, two people for transport. And so we had a jolly good life and a very good time at the climate conference. And normally Sister Jenti comes, but she was so busy here in India that Maureen Ben jumped in and was there then as the main person. Yeah, and the conference takes place for 2 weeks, and it's part of the United Nations UNFCC, United Nations for Climate Change. It's one of the divisions of the United Nations. And we organized around 30 programs in the conference. We did exhibition. We had an exhibition stand. We did press conferences. We had talks. We had two receptions in our house where we invited all our contacts. And we're also very active in the interreligious dialogue there. You know, Brahma Kumaris is one of the founders of the interreligious dialogue at the UN conference. Sister Valerian is very active there. She resides in near Geneva in Switzerland. And so Brahma Kumaris founded is one of the founders of this interreligious dialogue. And so we meet with the Catholics, the Protestants, the Buddhists, the Hindus, and all different religious groups. And we try to create a common statement from all the religious groups. And then we present this to the presidency of the conference. So we're very active, and you can see also there have been a lot of NGOs also, and demonstrations were strictly not allowed. The security was quite tough, I can say. And so it was not easy for the NGOs to raise their voices and raise their concerns, because climate change is accelerating and many communities around the world are already suffering under climate change, you know, practically suffering. And we have founded, so we have done almost 30 programs in the climate conference, talks, press conferences, and we met thousands of people which came to our stand. And we've given them our brochures, our blessing cards, and shared also the good vibrations with them. So for the Brahmins, this is a very good way to meet with the outside world and to meet also with scientists. You can imagine all the major scientific research institutes, NASA, all famous organizations, they are there. Greenpeace is there. All the major NGOs are there for climate protection, for animal protection. All governments are there, 180 governments are there. So, and most governments, they send at least environment minister or foreign minister or President Biden was there, US President Macron, French President was there. So many presidents and prime ministers were there. It's a good chance to meet them. So Brahma Kumaris has created an environmental initiative, and you can see our webpage, eco.brahmakumaris.org, and there you will find a lot of information input about climate change and a healthy green lifestyle also for the center. And our activities are quite broadly spread out. So we, first of all, we go to the United Nations Climate Conference and the Biodiversity Conference. But recently, so the Biodiversity Conference was in December in Montreal. This is usually a bit smaller. In this UN Biodiversity Conference, people talk a lot about the animals, the state of the trees, the nature, and insects and this whole environment around us and what is going on. On climate conferences, more about climate change and all this. Both topics are interconnected. If climate changes, it affects also the biodiversity quite a lot. We are also now participating at the UN conference against desertification. And we are also registered with UNESCO. So we are participating at quite a lot of United Nations programs. And of course, our headquarters, UN headquarters, is in New York. And we have also an office there. Sister Gayatri and Sister Julia are there. So they are coordinating from New York. And so we are quite active at this UN conference since about 10 years. And getting more and more active there somehow. And it's quite some action. You have to travel there. You have to prepare. You have to register yourself with the organization, TACT, and send an email which will reach to Sonia, and Sonia will put you on the newsletter. Can be individual or can be also a center or a group. We also promote the 10 ways to change the world. Be loving, be compassionate, feed yourself, strengthen your heart, feed your... So all these good ideas we have in the 10 ways, and we have a big poster, and we give that out also as a gift. And people like it very much because it's like the 10 commandments, we can say. It's all spiritual topics, of course. No? And we inspire people also to become a change maker and a bridge builder and a caretaker and so on. So we're trying to motivate people. And the whole idea behind this is that there is a new paradigm. My inner world and the outer world is connected. So that's what we, that's the overall theme. What I think, what I feel, this ultimately creates my emotions. And this creates my subconscious, and this influences my actions. And my actions create the world and the reality around me. So we highlight the idea that when we change on the inside, then we're able to bring a change also on the outside. So this is a bit the overall theme. And we also propagate the 5 R's, a green lifestyle for the individuals, for the centers, for communities. Rethink before you buy. Reuse as much as possible, reduce your consumption, electricity, water, and so on, recycle as much as possible, and refuse to follow all fashion trends. Well, most BKs, I think, they don't follow much of a fashion trend nowadays, you know, because white is our dress, so there's not that much you can do with a fashion trend, just maybe with a little colorful cap. You can do something. So we have a lot of activities in this Brahma Kumaris Environment Initiative, and we're trying also to slowly create more awareness in India about this topic. And this idea is now also picking up in India, because India is one of the countries which is most affected by climate change and most affected also by pollution and most affected also by loss of biodiversity. Because India is so old, and there's such an immense pressure of the population on the land. Since so many generations. So India is so old and used, you know, that we can feel this degeneration of the biosphere in so many places. And Mount Abu is a wonderful place in India because it's clean and proper and green. We still have a nice green cover here. And you have to search for these places now in India to find such clean and proper places. So we're very lucky to be here. Yeah, some ideas about the projects we are doing, which we are promoting. One is yogic farming. You might have heard our farm in Shantivan is running on yogic farming, where you give drishti to the seeds and drishti to the fields. And here you can see some of the results. As a yogic farming result, you can see our carrots, and left you can see the sister which is harvesting the carrots. And so the small carrots are done chemical without anything. Then in the middle, the big carrots, they are done with yogic drishti. It means good intention. You are a very good carrot. I love you. You will grow very nicely, and you don't need any fertilizer, and no bug will come and eat you. This is the intention for the yogic. And on the one side you see the organic, which without intention, without meditation. And you see the yogic carrots are the biggest one, and people say they also taste the best. It's quite interesting. And here you can see a comparison of wheat without meditation and with meditation. And you all can see the big difference there. Huh? You can see? Yeah. You can see the big difference of the wheat, which is with meditation, means every morning and every evening, 5 to 10 minutes you give drishti, and you give intention to that, and then the wheat grows better. And this is project is done by the and by the farmers, by the agriculture wing. Brahma Kumaris has an agriculture wing, which looks especially after farmers, and it's called the rural wing. It looks after the farmers, after the agriculture. And Brother Raju is coordinating, and Brother Suman, they are coordinating here in Madhuban. And now we are identifying 70 farms where we implement this yogic farming method. 70 farms we identify in India, and we're already in touch with the Ministry of Agriculture, and they're very much interested that Brahma Kumaris rolls out that project on a large scale. So this is one of the projects we are doing. Then, of course, Brahma Kumaris is active since 20 years, since 25 years in the area of renewable energies. This is our photovoltaic installation near to here, backside. And we are giving electricity to the whole campus here in Gyan Sarovar. And this sound system here, an emergency light, Baba's room, the kitchen, water pumping, ironing, street light in the night, this all comes, Baba's rooms, this all comes from solar power already. We are doing it since 20 years. And this is a couple of photos of the India One project. I hope you have seen it. It was a project by the German and Indian government. And Brahma Kumaris is one of the biggest institutional users in India. And we are also a recognized research center with the government. So we are doing research projects for new technology, and we do trainings and seminars, and we connect with the Indian Institute of Technologies here in India. We do research programs with them. And we're trying to share our good findings and our technology with the world. And we have a web page, especially India One, and you will find a lot of information on this technology. And here, the last picture, this is our solar steam cooking system here in Gyan Sarovar. If you go dining hall on rooftop, you will see it. And please go and see it, because very soon we have to demolish it. And the reason is this system is one of the first. It was built 1997, and it is now 1997 and now 22, 23. It's now 25 years old. And, you know, we painted it all the time and maintain it, you know, and one brother Suresh is looking after it. And we generate steam every day, and we send the steam down into the kitchen. And so some month ago, we got some leakage in one pipe. So we opened it and we tried to weld it. But when we tried to weld it, the hole became bigger. And then we did a thorough inspection of the whole steam cooking system, and we found that all the pipes are totally corroded, the structure is totally corroded, everything is gone, you know, it's just working, but it's just old, 25 years old, you know, and the weather here is quite tough, so we decided that we cannot repair it anymore, we have to scrap it. So we just took last week sanction from Dr. Nirmala for a new system, and that will be completely new technology, will be much, much more powerful. This one is about 50 kilowatt. The new one will be about 600 kilowatt, much more powerful. It will be a combination of photovoltaic and dishes, and will be computerized and controls and all this. And so our whole team, we gathered, and we involved also some top engineers from India, some BKs who are in the field, and we are just working now on the final design. And it's quite complicated. And I was thinking that I can forget after doing India One project, I thought I can forget about all this kilowatt hours and thermal fluids and tracking systems and solar radiation and efficiency and all these calculations and spreadsheets and Excel sheets and hundreds of emails. And this project again, it's all starting again. And the intellect has to go deep in technology, in engineering, in building, in construction, in plans, in blueprints. And it will take a couple of months. So have a look, because this is our old Mahavir, our old grandfather of solar systems, and next year it will be gone. No? So have a look and say hello to Brother Suresh, who's still maintaining it. We still run it, but on the last leg. So we do a lot of projects in the field of renewable energies, and we're quite active still. And more than 500 centers in India, they're using solar. And all the time, I was now in South India and giving advice for our retreat places. And everywhere now, all the centers in India, they go solar. Yeah, then some information about project called Yogis for Future. This is 150 meditation commentaries in English, 2 to 8 minutes long. And they are on our webpage, mobile app, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And what we're doing is we give very neutral meditation commentaries on 10 different topics for the environment, meditation for peaceful relation, meditation for inner resilience and strength, meditation for purity, meditation to become an angel, different meditation. And we just put it online, and people just can click in the morning and listen 8 minutes to a peaceful meditation. Because we found that the Brahma Kumaris meditation commentaries are scattered over different web pages. So we found a catchy slogan, Yogis for Future, and everything is under that umbrella now. And you can look there, and we try also to go in other languages now and collect, trying to go in Hindi is the next project, collect meditation commentaries in Hindi and then make a Hindi section, but we also would like to do a Spanish section and so on. Then we also have created Brahma Kumaris tree plantation campaign. It's called Kalptaru. And on the bottom, you can see the web page where you can connect. It's also available as a mobile app. And already we planted millions of trees in India, but also abroad. And you can plant a tree, and then you can notify it on the app that I planted the tree, I'm a good person, and that you also maintain the tree. You know, trees are one of the most powerful methods to deal with the climate change, and trees are always a sign of hope and a sign of the future also, you know. And we planted here in Gyan Sarovar so many trees, and they all come up, you know, and I see them growing, which is very beautiful. I had just yesterday saw some old photos where it actually looked quite depressive here. When we came here first, it was all brown and no trees, and you know, everybody was cutting and chopping off the trees, and now it's quite green here. You know, so now I've shown you a bit what we do practically, but the big question is this enough that we do all these projects and technology and tree plantation and this and that and all these activities? And of course it's not enough, because famous British filmmaker Sir David Attenborough, he said, the world is at the collapse of the civilization, and the natural world is on the horizon. And you see, our beautiful world is now damaged and is weeping, because we're in a very sad situation. And just some latest update from the climate change front. You can see one of the reasons why our climate is changing. We are emitting, we're burning wood and coal since 100 years, and we're changing the chemical composition of the planet, of the atmosphere. We're emitting carbon, CO2, into the atmosphere, and that is causing the greenhouse gas. Sunshine comes in, but doesn't get reflected and goes out. So slowly, slowly, the planet is heating up, and this warming effect is changing the jet streams. The jet streams are these winds which are circulating at high speed around the globe in the troposphere, about 10 kilometers. And the pilots, when they fly, they try to catch the jet stream. So when they fly with the jet stream, they're very fast, And when they fly against the jet stream, they're very slow. This is why sometimes when you come to Madhuban, when I fly to Europe, sometimes the flight takes 7 hours and sometimes it takes 8.5 hours because it's due to jet stream. And these jet streams, they control the low pressure and high pressure system underneath. And these jet streams, they are sort of meandering. They're not straight circling around. They have identified 8 major jet streams. One is at the equator, one is at the North Pole, one is at the South Pole, and some more are in between. And these jet streams, they have actually changed their behavior, changed their speed, and they became stationary. They, as you can see, on the left side, you can see originally, and then slowly, slowly towards the right side, you can see how they're changing. And they're creating this base, you know, they become meandering. And whenever they create this base, there is then a high pressure or a low pressure system. And then you get these funny changes in the weather. You get this, you know, two weeks ago over New Year in Europe, there was a heat wave. Have you heard about that? No? Normally in Germany, it should be around zero. And at that day on Christmas, New Year, the temperature record was broken. It was +22.6 centigrades. +22.6 centigrades on New Year. And this never happened before. And whole Europe, 10 countries in Europe, they broke the temperature record over New Year. It was unheard. No, people were in T-shirt outside. It normally should be in totally like you are sitting there with everything, you know, totally packed up. And it was super, super, super warm for this time of the year. And the meteorologist, all these scientists and experts, they all freaked out. They said, we never, ever have seen this. And this is not a good sign that it's so warm. Huh? And at the same time, in California, we have these horrible storms coming every 2-3 days. And all this rain is pounding the coast. And they have all this flooding. Huh? So it's a big catastrophe in California. They had drought, and now they have flooding. And last year in India, we had an extreme hot spring. And the wheat harvest in India was reduced by 30% because we had a heat wave in spring. And India's wheat area, where most of the wheat is grown, is Haryana and Punjab, is the North India. It was super hot in spring. March, April, it was super hot and super dry. So all the wheat burned. It didn't really grow. So the wheat harvest was down by 30%. And the rice harvest in India is down by 20% last year. And India has stopped all export of wheat and rice. India was the second large exporter of wheat to the third world. And now India stopped export. Because in India itself, the prices have gone up and wheat has become short. And the government can compensate that because they have huge wheat storages. But these wheat storages in India were already used to some extent because of corona pandemic. The government already gave wheat to the poor people. Now the harvest was down, so now India slowly gets also into tight spot. And this is the beginning of climate change, which we're seeing. And the temperature just has gone up by 1.2 degrees. And scientists have identified in this climate change these tipping points. So they say because they have identified major systems which control our climate. Blue is the ice bodies, that's the North Pole, that's the South Pole, and these ice sheets. And they are melting away. You know, the glaciers are melting, the ice at the North Pole is melting, and now even at the South Pole, ice is melting at a high speed. Then they have found out that the circulation patterns like the El Nino and the North Atlantic circulation, the African monsoon, the Indian monsoon, they're changing. And they find out that the biosphere components, like the forest, the reefs, you know, is also changing. The reefs are dying, the forests are burning, and these circulation patterns are all showing signs of change. And all these 12 major systems which control our climate are interconnected. And they are saying now that these systems can collapse anytime. And these are called the tipping points in climate. And all around the world, this research institute, they're running supercomputers. And they try to find out when are these, what happened to all these major systems. And they're now scared that these major systems are going to collapse within a couple of months. And if one system collapses, it will affect all the other systems. And that is what is called sudden change. And this is now anytime possible. Sudden change is anytime possible. Already all these systems are changing. And already all over the world, the effects of climate change are visible in a very, very dramatic way. So what's in the pipeline? Well, more droughts, more flooding, more forest fires, seawater level rise, all major cities which are built at the coast, Melbourne, New York, London, Bombay, Calcutta, Chennai, all coastal cities are in danger. I was just now in Chennai, and 5-6 meters above sea level only, the whole city. And already heavy flooding some years ago. And Bombay gets every year now heavy flooding because it's very low. So we have all these problems. And in Germany, this picture is the rivers are low. Last summer, the rivers are low. So they had problems running the power stations because they need water for cooling. So one problem causes another problem, and suddenly electricity problem, suddenly food problem, suddenly flooding problem, so this, that. This is all going to happen. So what we see is that the earth dies. And this is very tough. And not only we BKs, we see that, but also the people in the world, they see that, because the news is there, the science is there, and everybody gets this information. And here, even in The Simpsons, they found out that the end is near. This is Homer Simpson. And the new paradigm is destruction of the world becomes mainstream. And this is a very dramatic information, and this changes everything. This changes everything for Brahmins, but it changes also everything for the people in the world. And the difference is that the people in the world are not prepared. Brahmins are prepared to some extent. We hear in the Murli, the end is coming, and become fearless and become soul conscious. However, when it comes to from theory to practice, it's a different story. If you ask who is fearless of death, anybody's fearless of death? Hands up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, okay. Some hands going up, some hands maybe. You know, I was in just now in South India, and the brother, I gave a little talk and I explained what's going on. And then the brother said, Golo, Golo, when is destruction happen? When is destruction happen? I said, well, you know, the next years we will see very dramatic changes because all this is going to happen now, you know. And then he said, what? In a couple of years? He said, that's bad. My Purushottam, my efforts are very slow and very, very slow. And that's bad news. He said, what should I do? I said, you have to change and you have to speed up. And he said, really? I said, yes. So, you know, not many BKs, quite not all the BKs are up to the idea that dramatic changes are in the pipeline in the next years. You know, most of the many BKs, they think, oh, destruction. We have many, many years. But the signals of time, we call it the last chapters, are very clear. In Yagya we have these signals also, na? Baba is no more coming in person. Daddy Janki is gone. Daddy Gulzar is gone. Daddy Kumarka is gone. I get a bit sentimental when I see this Moolis, you know, on the video. And you see the Baba program and the daddies are there and all this. And you see so many faces which have gone. So that is one signal. Baba has told us, when he has told us everything, he will stop coming. So that's happening now, no? Another signal is that all the daddies are leaving us. And the daddies and seniors, they're all for the sustenance of the institution. Now is the time of the yogis coming. Yogis is for transformation. So the signs in the yagya are all there of change. And Baba gives the messages also. And in Pandavavan, the last message on 18 was, Baba says the advance party is ready. They ask Baba, when are the children ready? He says, nature is ready. Destruction, vinash in Hindi, is ready by nature. War is ready. Baba is ready. Are the children ready? It's the big question. So if somebody asks me, Golo, are you ready? I will say, you see, I'm just building this new solar cooker. It's a fantastic project. We do latest technology and we do very nice engineering and it's beautiful. And we will cook by sun for all Baba's children. So, you know, if destruction is tomorrow, it's not so practical because we will need a couple of months to complete that project. So, Baba, give me 1 year. Then we can complete that project and we can run it for some time. So after 1 year, you come again and we can negotiate for destruction. So if I ask you, are you ready? You will say, I just have to go home and some work in the center. And I have to get rid of one certain sanskara. And I just gave Baba some promise for the next 6 months. I will do special tapasya. So for the next couple of weeks and month is not very good if destruction will happen. So Baba says the time is with the children. But the children are postponing. Because in our mind we are not yet ready. Huh? We still have a little bit of fear of death. Because it would mean the end also for our efforts. So in the world, we can see a planetary crisis. We see the war, the restriction of movement, climate change, loss of biodiversity, health issues everywhere. So many people die, so many things are going on. Corona crisis. We see economic breakdown, cost of living crisis. Huh? Prices have gone up everywhere. It's quite amazing how the prices have gone up, no? Because energy prices are going up. We have a food crisis already. Since 2 years, the world food production is sinking. We can manage because we use the stocks. But very, very soon, you will see also shortage of certain foods. And we have fuel and electricity shortage. More and more, this will become an issue in the future. So in the world, all this crisis is coming together. And I have a very nice cartoon here. And you can see, the small wave is the COVID, the small tsunami is the COVID-19. Behind the COVID-19 comes a bigger wave that is called the big recession, global recession, economic breakdown. Then behind that comes the climate change. And behind that comes the biodiversity collapse. Imagine in Germany they counted the insects and they found out that more than 65% of the insects have disappeared. And these are the bees and the insects, they are responsible for pollination. So if the bees disappear, we have no more fruit trees. Can you imagine? So the insects are extremely important for our life, for nature. In Germany, in Europe, 60-70% already disappeared. When I came to Mount Abu first, after rainy season, we had a lamp outside. It was black with insects after the rainy season. They all came to the light in the evening. Now, no more. Very few insects you see in Mount Abu. And I asked one lady, she's in biodiversity in India, and she says, it's already very bad. One of the reasons is the use of pesticides. That's one of the use. And you can see in the city, in the left, they say, I cannot read it, it's so small. They say, Aya, be sure to wash your hands and all will be well. You see, so they're in the little village, they're sitting, and the father, the mother says to the kids, be sure to wash your hands and all will be well. And these big tsunamis are coming. And you know, in the ocean, there is one phenomenon, it's called monster waves. And the captains and the people who are traveling the sea, sometimes ships were disappearing. And some of the people said, there are monster waves on the ocean. And they just swallowed a ship. And the sign said, oh, this is all fairy tale. That's not really existing. And then they found out, then they had an oil platform and in the Northern Sea, and the oil platform was measuring the waves. And then one day they got a wave of 26 meters measured on record. And from that moment onwards, they took the wave, the monster wave series. And they said, wow, they are really there. 30 meter waves in the ocean, in the open water, not near to the shore. And these ships are dangerous. These waves are dangerous for ships because ships are built for normal waves up to 10, maximum 10, 12 meters. But 30 meter wave can kill big ships also. So they did some research and they find out when these monster waves are happening, there are smaller waves coming from here, smaller wave coming from there, and a smaller wave coming from here, and then some wind is there, and something like this is there, and then they all accumulate. They all come together, and suddenly you have a confluence and you get monster waves. And that's what the world is facing. And that's what's creating this problem, this mental disturbance in the people, which is called also climate anxiety. Of course, there is a lot of denial in the world about that. You see, a lot of denial because denial and fear are combined. People are denying that this is going to happen, and because it means a loss of control. And one of the promises of modern civilization is that we can control nature and we can control the future. And this is no more happening now. And now also the rich and the elite is waking up. And right now, you see the back this photo, they're playing golf. And behind is a monster forest fire. You know, this is a very nice picture which shows the ignorance, how we have treated for a long time this problem. Because the first reports, serious reports, were 1972 with the Club of Rome. It's called the Limit of Growth. And they were prophesizing exactly what's happening now, 1972. And at the moment there's the big meeting in Davos, you might have heard, Davos in Switzerland, where all the business people, presidents, prime ministers, they meet. And for the first time, the founder and managing director of this meeting, he gave a speech and he says, there is a mindset of crisis and a mindset of doom. Also about the world leaders, about the economic elite, and about the scientific community also. He says, we have to get rid of this crisis mindset. But that will be very, very difficult. Because we are dealing with a dying world. And because of these facts and the problems which are so big, people either deny it, they suppress it, or they have anxiety, depression, fear, anger and panic. And at the climate conference we can see that when we meet to the youngsters, they say, I have no future. I have no future. So you meet people 2-3 years ago, they say, ah, everything is okay. Now they say, oh my God, the end is coming. What am I going to do? What's my family going to do? What my children going to do? What's my house going to do? My possession? what's my future going to do? There was always like a deal. Even if I die, my family and my children will continue. That was a deal. Even if I die, my family will continue and I can inherit my wealth to them. Now all this is suddenly falling in a big black hole called the end of the world. And if you Google this, you will get hundreds of hits. And since 2007, so many studies have been done on this topic. And the last year, the Google hit list, echo anxiety, has increased by 580%. So if you Google nowadays echo anxiety, or another word is ecological anxiety or echo distress or climate anxiety, you will find lots and lots and lots of information. And it's, as per Wikipedia, I copied that from Wikipedia, it's called a chronic fear of environmental doom. Another definition is the generalized sense that the ecological foundation of existence are in the process of collapse. The foundation of our existence are in the process of collapse. And many of this disruption is a result from climate change, but some are caused directly by human activity. For example, it's a deforestation, driving too much with cars, flying too much around, and so on and so on. And they found this out already 10 years ago, that more and more people show this, but the last 2-3 years since COVID, everything has accelerated. And my brother is a general practitioner, and he says so many people come now and they are depressed and they have fear of the future also. So it becomes like a big issue now for everybody, for youngsters, young families, everybody who wants to look into the future and do something creative. Because the future is no more there. We cannot control it. We cannot plan it. And this is a loss of abilities and is affecting everybody in a big, big way. Even for the PKs, it's there. You know? So far, this diagnosis is not a medical one. It's more regarded as a rational response to the reality of climate change. However, there are serious cases where this impacts your mental health. So there are people who are already at the edge, and then this climate anxiety comes and they fall on the other side. They get depression, they get anxiety, psychosis, and just as a disclaimer, if anybody comes to you who is really distressed about these things, who is depressed about these things, when you see that it is really serious, you shall give this person also the advice to seek professional medical advice. This has quite a practical background. We have practical experience that it's very important to seek professional advice. Because sometimes people are already very edgy, and then this climate thing comes, and then, you know, that's the tipping stone for them, and then they really need help. And we as BKs, we cannot give that. So this is all about this echo anxiety, which is growing now all over the world. So in future, just be aware, we will be dealing more and more with people with fear, anxiety, depression, anger, and panic. Just imagine, people will freak out, you know, because the end of the world is coming. I hope you will not freak out. Huh? We will be all calm and peaceful. So, the big question is, are we ready as BKs? And Baba's message, I always remember that through Dadi Gulzar on the NC meeting, and Nirbhay came from Bombay and said, Baba gave the message. Dadi went in trance, 2018. Baba says, settle and finish all conflicts. Keep food for 6 months to 1 year. Make Amrit Vela powerful. This was Baba's message 4 years ago. And the signals in Yakya are plenty. No? You feel also? Signals are there? You feel something? Hmm? You also feel it, no? You see, when I came in Gyan, there was one brother, old brother, and that was 84. So the brother said, Golo, 3 years destruction. I said, yes, very good. I will do meditation and then there will be destruction. Will come angel and the golden age will come. So 84, 85, 86, 87. I went to the brother and said, what's going on? Where's the destruction now? He said, just one more year. One more year, he said. I said, okay, one more year. That was in the 80s. Now is 2023. I'm 62 years old, and I would never, ever have thought that I even get 50 when I came in Gyan. We all thought within 5-10 years, that's it. Then came the year 2000. Everybody thought, oh my God, the computers will collapse, and this will be the end of modern world. And we bought generators, we updated our computers, we bought food and whatnot. Then the year 2000 happened, and actually nothing happened. Nothing happened at all. Nothing. It was quite dissatisfying, you know, because nothing happened. And we invested so much money, we bought water bottles and so many things. Then the Mayan calendar came, 2012, you remember? The Mayan calendar, 2012, this is the end. You know, and we Brahmins, you know, we prepared everything and then nothing, you know. But let me tell you, now things are definitely different. We have also since 1 year a very nasty war, a very nasty conflict going on. In the heart of Europe, in the eastern part of Europe. And many say this is the beginning of the Third World War. And I remember when you go in history hall, there is this right side is this picture of the Kalpa tree, and you see this on top of the Kalpa tree there's a Russian missile and an American missile, and on top sitting two guys of the missiles with the Russian and American flag, and they hit each other, no? Like war. And when I saw this picture 40 years, I thought, nah, it's peace. This will never going to happen. This is not properly painted. Now I know this is absolutely accurately painted, because we're heading for a full-fledged conflict between Russia and America. Third World War. So many people believe this is the beginning of the Third World War. So we have all the ingredients there. So the signs are there. So how can we deal now with the situation? Let's come to the remedy. First is we have to come to terms what's going to happen. So visualize such a time. You know, empty your mind, forget whatever I said, and visualize a time of chaos. How does it feel? Such a time, no? Pretty wild. People are rattling at the door. Wind is shaking the house. Tremors in the earth. Electricity is not working. You know, it will be upheaval in all four corners. So let us visualize for a moment your stage and what is important.
अपने सुकर्मों के बल पर ही सतयुग में तुमको आना है शिव पिता को अब याद करो
आया है ब्रह्मा से शिवा कलयुग का अंत अब आया है, विकराल विनाश खड़ा आगे। पांडव शिव शक्ति सेना की रणभेरी अब फिर बजती है।
शिव बाबा के ज्ञान से फिर माया को मार भगाना है।
शिव पिता को अब याद करो, सतयुग में कर्मों के बल पर ही सतयुग में अब तुम्हें आना है।
धाम में तुम्हें
सतयुग में अब तुम्हें आना है।
So, anybody had an inspiration? What is important at that time? Yes? Say? Anybody would like to share something? What is your stage and what is important at that time? No? Anybody? No inspiration? There's a microphone, you can just put, lift your finger if you say something. Come on, say something, share. Yes, one sister there.
Om Shanti.
Om Shanti.
It's yoga power is going to be the most important thing.
Yes, yoga power, and that what will give the yoga, what will the yoga power
do? Connection to Baba.
Connection with Baba?
Mm-hmm.
And what will the yoga power do with you?
It would keep my stage and also provide protection.
Protection,
and
okay.
Also be able to radiate peace and power.
Okay, you will be able to create vibrations and spread them out through the yoga efforts. Very good. Anybody has one more idea would like to share? Good. So this end will become quite dramatic, and we have to become very powerful, very, very powerful angels, and radiate peace. In practical, we have a lot of resources and links in practice. How you can help people, and how you can also train yourself to deal with this situation, but to deal with people who are in such a state of mind. One is a very nice book by Sister Sarah Eagers and Jane Alco. It's called Being Still in the Storm. It's a book, and it gives effective tools for coping with fear and uncertainty. Sister Sarah is a BK. She's president of the Junkie Foundation. And she's a psychologist. And this book also has 20 audio files. And it's with practical tools and application, how you can help yourself and how you can help other people then also to deal with these kind of worrying feelings, worrying emotions. And then there is a very good webpage, Climate Psychology Alliance. And it's all about these collective paralyzers which we fear, And they say that through the sharing of knowledge alone, we will be not able to help people. We have to go deeper. And that's exactly where our speciality comes. We can create vibrations. And we can catch people and support them on the vibrational level. Because with technology, with words, somebody who is in deep fear about the end of the world, what are you going to tell him? You know, you need vibration. Whatever you say, you have to support it through vibration. So that's also very good. And then is also a New York Times magazine article, 7 resources to help and cope with the climate anxiety. And this is a very good link with further links to organization. There are organizations who are dealing with this since 10 years. They developed workshops, methods, and very, very good input. And if you're interested in that topic, please have a look at these links. They're very interesting. And this whole topic also, of course, we are dealing with the fear of the end, but we are also dealing with the fear of death. And you know, death was the great enemy for all of us. You know, since Copper Age, when we became body conscious, in Golden Age and Silver Age, we were not afraid of death. Death was some process, transition, and we know we take a new body and all this. But from Copper Age onwards, for 63 birth, death was an unpleasant experience. We didn't like it because our possession came to end, our knowledge came to end, our kingdom came to end for us. Whatever position we had, we lost it with death. Our friends, beloved, you know, all this. So we didn't like death. And when karma became bad, then death was also not always friendly. You know, we did not always die peacefully in the bed. We might have had an accident or whatever, or some conflict. Who knows in what we got involved. So there is a fear of death. And there's a very interesting book by Stefan Nagel and Patricia Heise. Stefan is the first double foreigner who came in Gyan in 1970. He's from Germany. He studied religious science and philosophy. And Patricia is a psychologist and has her own clinic. And they did a little booklet called Times of Great Change. And they talk about the end of the world and the fear which is in everybody about that. And quite interestingly, end of the world is not a new concept. In Christianity, it's quite interesting. They had many dates for the end of the world. The first date was actually in the year 400 when they thought, now Christ will come and this will be the end. Then the next date they had in the year 1000 where they thought this will be the end. And so on and so on. And in Christianity, these ideas of apocalypse or Armageddon, they have an old tradition. And that's very special. And if you look into Persian, Greek, Roman, Jewish, and Christian tradition, you'll find a lot of references to this end of the days. You know? And usually this was a time of penance, where people repented also for their sins. And interestingly, Baba also says, at the end, when things will become clear, many bhikkhus will also repent, because they will think, oh, I've missed the chance, I've not done enough effort. I hope here in the audience there is nobody who will repent at the end. This was a joke. Take it humorously. I hope I will not repent at the end, and I will reach my perfect stage, and I will have settled my karmic accounts. You know, that's my aim. So, interestingly, you will find that a lot in the Christian tradition. But if you go, and interestingly, apocalypse means revelation. The word apocalypse is Greek and means revelation, and Armageddon means the final battle. So, quite interesting meanings of these words. And interestingly, cultures with a cyclic worldview, they fare much better with this whole concept of fear and anxiety. In India, for example, they believe, okay, there's Kali Yuga now, but in India they believe Kali Yuga will last another 40,000 years. And then they will say, okay, if I die, I will settle my karma, and then I will be reborn, and I will have a good birth. And if I've done some good action, I will not be reborn as an ant. Because in India, most of the people believe you can also be reborn as an animal if you have bad karma. So that's why in India, everybody tries to do good karma. And that's why this concept of fear and the end of the world does not have that dramatic effect. You know? It's quite interesting that all these cultures with the cyclic world, Hinduism, Buddhism, and so on, and most of the tribal traditions, they fare much better. So this whole idea of apocalypse and end of the world is a Western concept, but which has spread, you know, all over the world. Yeah? So, and now the big question is, what is our task and our duty in such times? So first of all, we personally have to overcome fear of death, because it's sitting quite deep. And C.C. Jung, a famous psychologist, he says, whatever you suppress, whatever you deny, it goes in the subconscious. And there will be a moment, it will surface again. And it's really what Baba says, no? Old sanskaras, they're sitting very deep inside, in the subconscious, and they will come up. And Baba said, now is a very crucial time, because now is the end, the last chapter, and all the old stuff will come up. Baba says, all the old stuff will come up and you will have to deal with it and transform it. So that's quite interesting. So we have to overcome fear of death. So we have to look in ourselves. Because I cannot help people as long as I myself am scared. It's not working. You have to become fearless of death, sudden change, financial bankruptcy, nobody comes to your center, you have an accident, whatever. The dentist has to pull a teeth, but he cannot inject you a painkiller because he's running out of painkillers, whatever. You have to become fearless. It's quite a big thing, because we have to we have to transform our instincts, human instincts. And we have to become what Baba calls soul conscious. And therefore, tapasya is required, deep meditation. You have to go into tapasya and you have to extend the time of your meditation to become fearless and become soul conscious. It is the key to become free and become a detached and loving observer of this transformation, which is now accelerating and will take very fearsome scenes. Baba has, Sister Denise has written a book. It's called The Visions of the Future. Some of you might have read it. It's a combination of all the Murli points of the end days, what Baba has said. And the book is so powerful that they took it out of print. Because it's so powerful, you know. It's a bit scary what Baba says all about the end, what is going to happen and how people will react. No? So we have to overcome fear of death, then we have to become a healer and an angel. Of course, healer and angel means angel. We have to go into the experience of our subtle angelic body. Again, deep meditation, very, very important. Visualize your angelic stage. Visualize how it feels an angel, to be an angel. Raise awareness and consciousness in yourself, but also in the people. That is what we're doing all the time with classes and programs and seminars. Change your own personal lifestyle. Use less plastic. Become a friend of the environment. Adopt a green lifestyle. Use of solar energy wherever you can. And become a magician. And become a healer. I found this very nice picture. Be a helper of God. Be loving and compassionate. Be a healer to the world. And be a guide to the light. So another little reflection. How does your angelic stage feel? And how it can help yourself others and Baba to create a new world. How does your angelic stage feels? And how it can help yourself, others and Baba to create a new world? Think a little bit about it. How is it to be an angel? How does it feel? You know, what do I feel? How are my emotions? I'm very light. I don't feel the body. That's nice. The older you get, the more problematic it gets. So you don't feel the body. You're free of the pull of the body. You're free of the pull of the earth and nature and the elements. You feel very light. And you feel very enlightened, full of light. Everything becomes shiny. And probably your perception changes also. You don't see with this eye, you see with a third eye. You see the vibration and the light around everything. And that helps yourself, because your thoughts are like light, which you can direct to others. And you can help Baba to create a new world. Why? Because our thoughts and our visions create the reality. Our thoughts and our visions create reality. And that's why Baba says, the clock, the time is with the children. Because if you change your thoughts and your vision, if you remove it from this old world, and you focus towards the golden age, you change the atmosphere, you change the vibration. And the vibration has a direct impact in physical reality. There's a whole field of quantum physics which deals with the interaction of mind and matter. And some scientists, they tell us, our consciousness all the time creates the world, the reality around us. And that's why Baba says, Mansa Seva, or the service through your mind, is the most powerful. This also will be the service which we will use at the end. Service through the mind. So we have to think positive on us, positive on others, and positive on the world. This is written very easily, but it's not so easily practiced. When you get up in the morning, yeah, I'm great. I'm the greatest angel of all times. I'm a superhero angel, and I will do magic today. Think positive on others, even those whom you don't like at all. You just have to love them and give them positive, powerful thoughts. You're very good. You're my friend. Everything will be all right. And then once you master that, you can become master over matter and master over the world and send good vibrations to the world. So the world which we should visualize is a world of peace, love. Love is the center point. It's written in the middle and capital letters. Love is the most important. You love yourself, you love the world. So all this starts with your own efforts and your own transformation. And dealing with these end days and anxiety, it starts with you. Dealing with your own fears, your own anxiety, and become loving. Love yourself as you are, what you have done, what you will become. Love Baba, love the drama, love the world, love others, love. Everything is love. There's a very nice Beatles song. Love, 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 dum, da, dum, dum. Yeah, it's all about love. Ah, some Beatles fans are in the audience. Very nice. So, then harmony, beauty. Nah? Golden age will be so beautiful. Nah? Satyuga is the name in Hindi. It's called the age of truth. And in the Greek called it the golden age. It's the time of perfection, purity, bliss, prosperity. Everybody will have enough, and happiness. It will be timeless, just. And the good news is, there won't be internet. In golden age, won't be internet. We will all communicate directly. There's not this little mobile phones. We don't have them. I know some of you may feel a sudden shock, but I guarantee to you, no internet and no mobile phones. How beautiful. We will talk to each other directly. We will be the internet. we will be all connected and we will be aware. Isn't that beautiful? So, and then it's very important also to deal with this anxiety that we see the big picture. The big picture is the cycle of time. That we are now in a very crucial moment in the last chapter in this cycle of time. And if we pull ourselves out of the moment and we pull our consciousness in the eternity of the cycle, which is endless repeating, we will see the big picture. And we become become an observer of the drama. And this allows us to become detached. And our heart will not be hurt. You know, last summer, I still have a motorcycle, and when I'm in Germany, I make a small little tour. Of course, I give some programs and talks, but I'm also like motorcycle riding. So I went into the Alps and drove to Switzerland, made some programs and this and that, and then to France. And this time in the Alps are dying. The mountains, instead of green and forest, became brown and the trees are dying. And there's water shortage everywhere in the Alps. And I saw my beloved Alps dying. And I thought, okay, Golo, this is just one little signal. The whole world is now dying. The Alps are dying. The forests are dying. Animals will have no food. The reefs are dying. Fish, the greenery, the trees, wherever you look, it is in a bad shape. So, see the big picture and shift your mind away from the old world and visualize golden age and what role I play. This is also one yukti, to protect your heart. Because all of you, you like nature? You like nature? Huh? We like forests, we like trees. You like animals? Very sweet, I like animals. If I see a cow, I always want to cuddle the cow. And then they come, the cow. They're very sweet. And if you have a chapati in India, you are the king. They definitely will come and munch it in one. So I love animals, you know. But we have to detach what we love. This is not easy. Quite some challenge. So I come to the end of this session. And do you have any question? Anybody has a question? Okay, we don't have a question, which is good because we have only 5 minutes. And so I hope you got a bit an idea what is going on in the world right now in terms of UN service, what is the climate doing, what is nature doing, and that we are in the last chapter, also of the Yajna. So many signals. And people are reacting to it. Brahmins are reacting, but also the people in the world are reacting. There's a lot of fear, depression, anxiety, and chaos. And it will increase. You know, we're just seeing the beginning of that. And we all understand we have to become strong. We have to become angels, loving and detached. And the key is tapasya. Increase your meditation time. And make positive visualizations. I'm a deity in golden age. Start removing your mind from this old dying world and visualize the golden age in order to protect your heart and your feelings. Because it will be quite some roller coaster. Dying of a world and creation of a new world is not like going to your auntie's home, as Baba said. It's quite something. But Baba also gave us a promise. The children who stay with me, I will protect them and they will be very close to me and they will become my helpers in the task of transformation. Baba gave us also that promise. And he also gave us the promise we will get one chapati per day, even at the end. So everything is guaranteed for us. So we are on the safe side. But the first and biggest job is for all of us to start. Because when we start and we come to terms with the situation, with the transformation, with the destruction, we come to terms with death and we overcome all fears, then we can become Baba's instrument to help the other people around the world. So I hope you're a bit inspired, you got a bit knowledge, and let us do some couple of minutes meditation. Can we have some little bit light and some nice song, some red light, and have a nice meditation to overcome death, to welcome destruction, to embrace golden age and become flying angels. So, I'm relaxing, little bit music and red light, la light, thank you. So, I'm relaxing my mind, I'm forgetting all what Golo has said about the end of the world. I am a being of light, and I am sitting in my forehead. I am a being of peace. I'm a being of happiness, and I'm connecting to Baba, the light, my mother and my father. This connection gives me an extra boost of energy. My heart becomes strong. My mind becomes fearless. I am an angel, a being of light. I am detached from my body. I'm detached from my center, my friends, my relatives, my job. I'm also detached of my weaknesses. I'm attached to my strength. I am in the combined form. I'm together with the Almighty. I'm focusing my attention now towards the world. I can see all the signs of destruction. I can see the fear and anxiety amongst the people, the chaos, the war, and the suffering of humans and animals. This is the time of change. This is the time of settlement. I am with Baba. I'm full of love for myself and for all the others. I have compassion. I'm sending strength and peace to all those restless souls. And I'm sending vibrations of purity to matter, to nature, because my vibrations create the future. I'm visualizing now planet Earth. I'm holding the Earth in my hands. I'm giving Trishti to this world. And slowly the planet changes, becomes golden and shines with light. This is the new beginning, the end of the old, and the beginning of the new. I visualize beautiful nature, myself with the deity body in total happiness and bliss. This is our future world. This is Sat Yuga, the age of truth. And I am the helper of the Almighty. I'm protected by the Almighty. This feeling of connection makes me very happy. It removes all my worries, all my fears. And I become strong. This is my task. Helping Baba in the transformation of this world, helping the other souls, and helping nature. I experience the powerful atmosphere. I'm holding this experience. I memorize this experience. I will repeat it. I will make it permanent. Thank you, Baba. And thank you, Drama. Om Shanti.